This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Hundreds of mourners attended a memorial service today in Bam, Iran, to remember the tens of thousands of people killed in last Friday's earthquake. The Washington Post reports the United States has approached Iran about sending a humanitarian delegation to Tehran. It would be led by Senator Elizabeth Dole of North Carolina, who once ran the American Red Cross. It would be the first official public visit since the Islamic Revolution and the seizure of the U.S. Embassy. There are no diplomatic relations between the two nations. As part of an occasional series focusing on the lives of Americans living abroad, Marsha Franklin profiles Connie Martin, who has been living in Tehran since 1979.
Who am I today, and who will I be tomorrow?
Every day, students come to this cramped classroom in central Tehran to be challenged by a unique teacher, who's also the only American many of them have ever met.
Are you the person that you want to be?
In the late 70s, Connie Martin just wanted to be with her new husband. The two met in Fresno, California, where they were both college students.
Before I married him, he told me, "Look, I'm Iranian. My parents have sacrificed a lot to send me and my other brothers to America to get an education, and they expect us to come home. If you think you can follow that path, join me." And so I did. I'm here 24 years.
Connie arrived in Iran 4 months after the Islamic Revolution, fresh for an adventure. And she quickly got one when Americans were taken hostage at the U.S. Embassy. Chants of Maghbar Amrika, or Death to America, rang out on the streets. But she soon discovered the dual nature of Iranians' feelings toward Americans.
Everybody said Maghbar Amrika, but they said, "My brother lives in San Jose. Do you know him?"
That underlying affection for things American meant that even when fundamentalists shut down the international school where Connie taught, she and her friends had no trouble finding students for a language institute they started. But when that school was also closed, Connie was faced with a choice.
And I decided, wait a minute, I love teaching, why don't I just do this myself? And that's what I'm doing.
Every day, in a green, dimly lit ground floor room below her apartment, Connie teaches English classes to Iranians of all ages. She gives her younger students the typical comprehension and spelling tests. But her older students get more of a lesson in life than linguistics. Today, it's a women's class.
So, number 8.
Using quotations from books and the internet, Connie structures her classes around themes.
People remain what they are even when their faces fall to pieces. They're all fresh.
But what does it mean?
Today the topic is identity. Connie wants to know if her students think clothing affects their identity. Women in Iran are required to wear a hijab, or a covering, on both their head and upper body. Some just wear a scarf and a lightweight coat, but others wear the chador, a long piece of fabric that covers everything but their face.
Why? Why do we judge people by the hijab they wear? Why has this chador become such a symbol?
Symbol of terrorism. Bad people, the people who we hate in this country, yeah, have all got hijab. That's why we hate the Arab.
Okay, we are associating the way a person ties their scarf with politics. Okay? Yeah. And that's dangerous because we're not really knowing that
person. We blame
person.
Them. See?
Okay, and they have nothing to do with nothing.
Yeah.
Why I hate them? Because if you ask them, then why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you wearing black and why are you choking yourself? They have no answer. They say just because the God said that. So, I don't think so, you know. He created us all free.
My goal is to open up their mind. And I try to motivate my students to think. Because that's the lesson that you never learn anywhere. Especially in Iranian school, memorize, give the test. Memorize, give the test. There's no time for thinking.
Connie says she's never experienced any backlash for her frank discussions. She does wonder if her phone has been tapped. Still, it doesn't faze her.
Those things exist, but they exist in America too, especially after September 11th. There's a lot of listening on phone calls. So we are just used to it here.
Another thing she's become used to, wearing hijab. Unlike some of her students, she doesn't feel oppressed by having to wear a scarf and coat every time she goes out in public.
I don't like it, but that's the rule. if that allows me to go out and do my shopping, go to my offices and get my passport, do whatever, I will wear it. It doesn't take anything away from my personality. I am me.
Because of the high profile of the United States, Connie's own identity is often held hostage by her nationality.
People don't take the time to know you. You're American, they want to be your friend. You're American, they don't want to have anything to do with you.
Still, she has no desire to keep company with other Americans.
Unfortunately, when foreign wives, because I went to the Foreign Wives British Club for a while, when they get together, all they do is sit and complain. I can do that at home.
At home, Connie lives with her husband and 19-year-old son. They rarely visit the United States, in part because of the expense, but also because of the emotional toll it takes.
And when you go back, first, culture shock, and then you enjoy yourself, and then you remember you have to go back, and when you come back, you're depressed.
She sees the same depression in her students.
We have a lost generation here. They don't know where their place is in society because they have gone to university and there's no job. And if there is a job, the job does not pay enough to live the way they want.
Connie's been teaching so long, some of her students are now in their 30s. Occasionally, they come back to visit.
Hi, how are you?
How are you? I'm
really
very glad to meet you again.
Oh, I'm here.
I'm sure you don't remember me
with
this face.
Kayvon was just a child when Revolutionary Guards closed the international school where he had met Connie. He was forced to go to a government school where no English was allowed. But after school hours, his parents took him back to Connie.
At least I knew that two or three times during the week I would come to Connie and I would feel back in the international school. I was somewhere to speak English and I really felt a lot of support from Connie.
That support is important to her current students, too, many of whom feel trapped in their country. Connie tries to channel those feelings in the discussions she leads.
Why are you alive? Are you alive just because you breathe and eat? Or are you enjoying this life?
Well, we have to enjoy it.
We have to, but how?
Connie knows her classes are essentially group therapy, with English instruction on the side.
It's 1 hour and a half that you can forget your troubles, maybe, and think clearly and freely without anyone saying, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't think that.
Her students agree.
You know, talking about Connie for me is so hard. I mean, I get so hysteric, you know, I really can't talk about her because she's so much important for me. And I really don't know what to say about her because she really changed my life. She teach me another world.
She's an angel because she's very kind and because she's staying in Iran for 25 years. It's not easy, even for us that we are Iranian.
My sanity is based on my work. Every day I see old people, young people, and they're all coming to learn something and share something. And that is my high. And without it, for sure I wouldn't be here.
Marcia Franklin for NPR News.